John Van Oven, beginning to visit with J.R. Tuesday morning, the 21st of January, 75. Channel One Over, beginning of this considerable visit with J.R. this Tuesday morning, 21st of January, 75. Channel One Over, beginning of the visit with J.R. this Tuesday morning, 21st of January, 75. Channel One Over, beginning the visit with J.R. this Tuesday morning, 21st of January, 75. Channel One Over, beginning the visit with J.R. this Tuesday morning, 21st of January, 75.
It's okay. Got to have you to go along with it, though, J.R.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing. Want to take your jacket off?
No, ma'am.
Because I'll tell you something.
I need this for two or three reasons, and one of them is Faye's mama. She takes an interest. She's 90.
91.
She takes an interest in what goes on down here. And, you know, these little things here are easy to send through the mail.
Yeah.
And now this is going to surprise you, but now you don't realize how. Where is that thing?
Up on this side.
Oh, that's going to have a.
Mother just loves. She's going to be. She's going to have a birthday, and we're getting a little box of birthday things for her.
Yes.
And she's going to be 91, and she's the cutest thing that ever was. She wants to know everything that's going on down here at this ranch.
Mm.
Now she knows how much trouble. See, Dale, that's the trouble when you're a moron.
What's a moron?
Wait a minute now. Let me get this the right place. I don't think it matters.
What's a moron?
Me.
Let me see now. Wait a minute now. Did I put that in? Yeah, I put it in. Oh, I didn't turn it on.
That's a moron, J.R.
That's a moron. Where does it go? Not going. Not going. Now let me just see if it's not going.
That's not going.
Now it's going. It's going. It's going. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. It's going. It's going. It's going.
1, 2, 3,
4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Got it, didn't we?
Yeah.
Got
it that time too, didn't it? Let me see now. Wait a minute. I don't think that matters. Oh, that's what it is. This thing here. Now you got it. Now.
You better check it again.
I know what it is now, Faye. You don't have to worry about that. It'll take care of itself.
Mm-hmm.
Now here, it's just like that. It's just like that old shibby you was working on out
mm-hmm.
there. You see, something always comes up, and I think one of the finest cases is that little Ford tractor that you took over and worked on.
Mm-hmm.
And everything you did to that is just unbelievable. And how much it has. How much it takes to keep the darn thing going. Now what happens, you see, you get a mechanic come over, he'll start it, but he won't pay any attention to nothing else
mm-hmm.
except cranking.
That's right.
Then he'll go on home, and you got the same.
Well, that starter, I noticed out there just now when I went to crank it, that starter is dragging. And it might not be a thing in the world but to brush it. Well, I got to brush it. And that Bendix, whenever you crank it one time and get it to running, and then you try to crank it again, you notice how it goes out of gear?
Yes.
It goes out. In other words, it gets into gear and it comes out of it. Well, that ain't right. It must be dirt or something in that Bendix for doing that.
Yeah.
In other words, it ain't supposed to do that. Whenever you step on the starter, it's supposed to turn that motor until that motor cranks.
Mm-hmm.
But it don't. The very minute that motor starts to crank, well, out it comes, and that's the reason it don't crank up. But I got brushes. I got Bendix, I got a little bit of evidence.
Now, the first thing you did, you looked at the points, and they're all out of whack.
Yeah, they're burnt up. And supposed to been brand new. That's what the guy told me down at Orange Lake, about that station down there. He said them were brand new points, plugs, and everything.
Yeah.
But when he set them plugs, he set them plugs about 80,000. Who in the world wants anything that far old?
Yeah.
So I took them all out and set the plugs at about 18,000. In other words, I don't set it by no gauge. I set it by eye. Because I set my points. I set them points out there about 20,000. And them points is burnt up. In other words, 1 minute they're firing, the next minute they ain't. See, if I'd have had a platinum point file and went in there and cut them a little bit, it might have kept on. But see, there ain't no fire coming out of that distributor going to the plugs.
Yeah.
Because see, I took a screwdriver and put it in the wire and put it on the side of the motor. And when you were stepping on the starter, there wasn't a drop of fire coming.
Yeah.
Now, I got point, condenser, just about anything you want to look at in my shop. But I don't let everybody see what I got. Now you take from Sunday evening, me and Y, I went up to Tackle Box and I bought 2 dozen minnows. I said, well, that's all we need. 80 cents worth of minnows. And we went to Santa Fe River. They claim that the speck of perch was just eating it up there. We went up there and we ain't caught nothing. And so I brought them back and put them in the boat. And the cat took care of them. I didn't know she could catch them. But she did do it. Every time one had passed by, she'd do like that. And whenever she done like that with her foot, them claws got him.
Yeah.
And ain't none in the boat. I looked in it yesterday and there wasn't none in it. And the cat done went out there and got him. I had some in a live well. And I had the live well closed up. And you know they lived in there about 6-7 weeks.
Of all things.
But she couldn't get to them. But whenever I opened the door of the live well, so the sun could get in there and get on the minnows, she got every one of them. And she was out there this morning fishing. I think there must have been one or two left. And I noticed there's a lot of them big ones. There were some nice minnows about like that.
Uh-oh.
And she done got all of them, but they're down to them little bitty ones.
Well, now, what you was telling me, I told you, that the dogs was running all the rabbits and everything, that is the one thing left around in the fields. You said it was cats.
It's cats. It was, I'd say, 5 or 6 cats done the other day after them quail.
Really?
Yeah, that quail was running down the road. And if I'd have had my shotgun, I could have mowed them down.
Hmm.
But I was on the tractor. I didn't have no shotgun on it. And there's no way to carry one when you're riding it, because you got to watch where you're going.
Mm-hmm.
Especially with a heavy disc behind.
Yeah. Well, now, what you do, you see, I'd like to shoot them cats. But you see, you just can't go around popping off people's cats.
Mm-hmm.
They may be over a nuisance and you don't want them. But
well, I can tell you how you can get rid of the cats. That's easy. You get you some salmon. Bought a can of salmon,
mm-hmm.
And a cat crazy about salmon.
Yeah.
And get you some what they call?
Strychnine.
No, it's not noxivomycin, it's something else. It's something on that order. In other words, you don't kill the cat right now, but it makes him so fat till he can't even run the quail. He can't even get nowhere near them. Makes him so fat. So he can't, he'll die. He'll finally die. It won't take him long. I say in a month's time he'll weigh, he'll be so fat until he can't even walk. And they wonder what the devil's the matter with him. Something on the order of noxivomycin. I can't think of the name of what that is. It's, it ain't noxivomycin, it's something else. It's button. That's what it is. Button. Now, where you get that button from, I don't know, unless it be a drugstore. They'd be the only one that would have anything like that. But button, that's what it is. You give it to a dog, and it bothers you, or runs his mouth at night. And you just get you some salmon and put the button in there. And it'll make him so fat till he can't even bark.
I've heard of that, Jay.
I've been doing that all my life.
Well, yeah.
We had a fella live behind us back there. Name was Preston. And they had two goats. And them goats would come over to our house and eat all the leaves off the rose bushes.
Mm-hmm.
They were bad about that and had blackberry vines. And they'd eat all the leaves off it. And every time a new bud would come on there, he'd get it. And we told him about him, and we put High Life on him and put a little bit of everything on him. Even Tubentime. Even hiked up his tail and poured Tubentime on him and took a rough stick and rubbed him good fashion. That just got him in high. But whenever we put that button in that salmon, now he likes salmon too. Anything likes fish. I don't care what it is. And that took care of him.
Now he's not the Preston I know.
It's Buck Preston. You know them Preston boys that make it open.
Yeah, I know the one that lives over there in that new addition. What's his name?
You mean old Billy?
Is that Billy?
That's Billy.
He's the one that's a boxer.
No, he ain't no boxer. He ain't nothing.
Wrestler?
No, he ain't no wrestler. They ain't none of them in Micanopy that called herself bad. Ain't
well,
no rascal or nothing like that.
Well, he married Shiraz's daughter.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Is that Billy?
That's Billy. He ain't nothing. And don't let him mess with anything you got.
You mean carpenter and things like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, he's a slick character.
Hmm.
Now, you take Donald and Sandra, carried him to Panama City last Sunday, and he's supposed to been back Tuesday, and he ain't back yet. Of course, he's supposed to come back on the bus, but he ain't come back yet, and I doubt if he comes back. He's a drunk.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah, he's a dope fiend and a drunk.
Mm.
I thought he was straight as a limb.
He's just about as straight as that door right there.
Well, you mean he
around this corner and that?
I thought Betty Joe, what's her name?
Betty Joe Shaw.
Betty Joe, I thought she was the one.
She's just as bad as he was.
Yeah.
Yeah, I tell you, he was the one that put her in her grave.
Oh, really?
Well, he would carry the stuff to her to drink. And he thought he'd get that place, see? But he got it in a way. But he didn't get it because that boy got it.
Oh, the boy.
The boy's the one that got it. He lives in it.
Yeah.
And he claimed that he couldn't live in it because she was dead. And he don't want to live in it. But that boy don't even want it either. And Collis Sharehouse thought he had it. He ain't got it. But Billy lives there, but the boy owns it.
Mm-hmm.
See, they think they're slick.
So it's all mixed up.
It's all mixed up. And it pays to get things straight before you die.
Yeah.
Because my daddy, before he died, he got that property
mm-hmm.
that Sandra and Donald lives in, see? In other words, before he died, he got that property in my name. See? In other words, whenever...
That whole step right there.
Yeah, that whole 4 acres.
Yeah.
In other words, Daddy got all the papers and everything straight on it before he died.
Mm-hmm.
That place would automatically become mine.
Mm-hmm.
And did you know my sister and my brother tried to beat me out of that place?
Yeah.
Yeah. I ain't got a bit of use for my brother, and I ain't got a bit of use for my sister.
Yeah,
I don't go to see neither one of them.
She's rich.
Yeah, she's rich. That $100,000 is about the word of daylights out of her.
Yeah.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. And she told Nola and told me, both of, well, she told her, told Nola first. She didn't just exactly tell me that for us, me and Nola taking care of Mama, as long as we did, that she was going to fix us up good.
Mm-hmm.
But we ain't got fixed up yet. And I asked her about hunting on a place, just like I asked you, could I hunt on your place down here? You said it's perfectly all right, go ahead. I asked her, I said, how about hunting on your place over there? I said, she called up Nola and told her, says, if he needs any shells, says, go to Robinson and get them and charge them to her. I would sure like to have a good mess of young squirrels. Well, I says, the only place I know that you can get any good young squirrels on your place. How about let me go out there and hunt? Well, go ahead and get me a good mess of young squirrels. Go to Robinson, get two boxes of shells, and charge them to me. Well, I went out and I hunted 2 days. And in them 2 days, the second day, I found a little baby calf back in there that was huddled up in some pine straw. And where the baby calf's mother was, I don't know. I didn't hear no cows around it, didn't see no sign of no cows. But the calf was right there. So I went that evening, I went to the phone and called her and told her. I says, that little calf is right in that pine thicket where y'all been turning around back there. She says, how come you that far back in there? I said, when you hunting squirrels, you have to walk all over the creation before you find them. And I says, I found them right there. And I don't know what got them in their brain that I might have done something to the old cow.
Yeah.
But back this side of it was a pond. And the day before that, I heard something in that pond. And I had seen cow tracks around the pond. And the first thing I know, I heard something go, just like that. And I said to myself, what in the world was that? And I looked out there, and there was a trail about that wide on the edge where something had been coming in and out of that pond. I knew it wasn't ducks. And so I asked a fellow about it, what in the world could that be? He says, what kind of prints did it have on each side? I said, in the mud, there was a print there big as my hand.
Mm-hmm.
On both sides of the trail. That was a big gator. Well, that big gator got that old mama cow. And there the calf was out there starving to death. The little calf's mouth was all bloody, and his nose was bloody, and I know good and well, he kept that, that. He just continuously. That's how come to find him. Well, they went out there the next morning and got the calf. And I don't know whether she blamed me for the cow disappearing or not.
Why, J.R.?
And they called Nola up and told her, says, tell brother not to go in there no more. Says, Lovett, don't want nobody hunting in there. My own sister. And the other day, up there on Cocos Hill, you know where Whitehurst is building that new road? They had that improved Bermuda. Well, in other words, that winter grass on both sides of the road. It's nice and clean and just as pretty and green as you ever seen. There was about 8 or 9 head of his old cows up there eating it. Did I call him up and tell him? I didn't give a darn if they got every one of them. It'd be all right with me. And the next day, I seen him down there fixing the fence. And I just hope the rest of them get out and somebody get them. It don't make no difference to me.
He got a world of them, hasn't he?
Yes, sir. He has got them. I'd say he got 4,000 head.
No.
Sure he has. Why, they wouldn't have to worry about that $100,000 being rich. They got enough cows. They could sell every one of them cows and spend $100,000 a day and never think nothing about it.
Yeah. Now, Faye don't know about that $100,000.
No.
Well, she's got it. They got it.
Where did that come from?
Well, they sold some property on that same road that Whitehurst went through there. They took about 40 or 50 feet of it. That didn't hurt nothing. But they had sold this here, I think it was 88 acres for $100,000. Excuse me. And, but that $100,000 is about to wear him to death. Now, Dodie had flea bites, I think they called it. There was something wrong with her knees. They tried to make out like I got flea bites. I said, I ain't got no flea bites. Ain't got no sugar diabetes either. And Justina and that gal threw it up at me that I had sugar diabetes. My chart said that I had sugar diabetes. I said, you crazy as hell. That's exactly what I told her. I said, you crazy. I said, you want to pay some doctor bill? I said, you're going to pay it too. Because I know what your name is and I know where you work. I said, you just throw that up at me one more time, I'm going to have you arrested. And because it cost me about $600 on that sugar diabetes business. And I proved it out to them that I didn't have sugar diabetes.
That was when they was trying to find out what all was wrong with you.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And that, they got on that sugar diabetes business.
Yeah, man, that old Lon Donner. He's some kind of old doctor from England, a doctor from China or somewhere. He looks like a Chinaman. I seen him yesterday evening. And he charged me $56 to check my urine, see? And then he charged me, it was $100 to put me to sleep.
Why, J.R.?
Yeah, whenever I was operated on for each time.
Oh, yeah.
Charging
oh, yeah.
$100 one time, $100 another time.
Yeah.
And
yes,
then
easy.
Said that I had
said
sugar diabetes. He's the one that said I had sugar diabetes, and Emil happened to be sitting yesterday in this little waiting room.
Uh-huh.
And he says to me, he says, don't I know you? I said, you darn right you know me. And his mother was in a, I don't know if it was his mother, who it was, a white-headed lady, old lady. She must have been 95 years old. And they claimed she had sugar diabetes. And I told that lady, you ain't got no more sugar diabetes than I have. And I says, that man sitting right there said I had sugar diabetes. And I asked him, how much did he pay on my doctor bill? I said, he gave me every bit that he charged me back.
Oh, he did?
He sure did. I told him, I'm going to have him arrested. And I got the Coleman and Patterson's lab.
Yeah.
I went over there and I stayed there 3 days, and they charged me $300 and something, $360, I believe it was, for the 3 days. And I made them cough that $360 up.
How'd you do that?
But then told them, I said, I want an itemized statement of what y'all done to me that them 3 days. And I said, all that blood that you took out of me, what'd you do with it? Well, we put it in the blood bank. I said, you have to pay me. I want $100 a pint for that blood. I either put it on my account. And so they took the blood, I think it was 6 quarts. I didn't know a human being's body had that much in them.
God almighty. That's more like a radiator.
In other words,
car.
I'm just like a walking corpse when I left from there.
Well, I didn't know they ever took that much blood from you for a test.
They took 2 pints every day.
Why, J.R.?
2 pints is a quart.
Yeah.
And then they took these little old things about that big around, about that long, pulled out about 4 times a day. I don't know how much that was and what they done with it. Might have been giving somebody else a blood transfusion with it.
Yeah.
And I got a rare type of blood.
Oh, you have?
I got a type that nobody ain't got. In other words, my blood is worth $1,000 a pint. In other words, I give a man a blood transfusion out to J. Hillis Miller, help son of it. He was dying. In other words, he didn't have no blood in him at all. And I give him a blood transfusion, he's living right now. And I give a woman over here at Hawthorne, out from Hawthorne at Loch Lucy, out there in the woods, I give her a blood transfusion, and she was, she was about 45 years old when I give it to her, and she's about 80-something right now, and still living. In other words, I was the only one that had her type blood.
Mm-hmm.
And
penalty.
Didn't charge her a thing. But you know that lady, every time I see her, she speaks to me.
Well,
and
she sure.
asks me, is anything that I can do for you, let me know.
Is that right? That's unusual, ain't it?
That's unusual.
Because she knows who saved her life.
That's right. But yeah, you know, there's some of them don't appreciate anything. I give blood. You take Ms. Bohanna. I give her blood transfusion 3-4 times in the 25 years that I worked for Bohanna. All right, when Bohanna died, did he pay me what he owed me? No, I ain't heard nothing. But one of these days, I'm going to run up on that boy. His boy, and I'm gonna ask him. I said, you know, Joe, I said, I give your mother blood transfusion 3 or 4 times. And I says, now, I haven't got a thing for it. I said, your daddy owed me $600 before he died, and I said, he didn't pay me. And I said, all that income tax money that he took out of my pay for 25 years that I worked for him, I said, he never did turn it in. I says, what you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it?
You don't mean that?
Hmm?
But they didn't, you didn't know it until he died.
Didn't know it until he died. All right. Did you hear about this fella down here about Dade County? The other day that had all that income tax money to them people's money down at work for him, and they just found out the other day that he hadn't turned in none of that income tax money. He spent it on that farm. And that's the reason them people was having to pay income tax every year. See that? Boy, there's slick people in this world. I ain't joking.
Yeah. And they get by with it so long.
Yes, sir. He got by with it for about 15 years. How in the world he done it, I don't know. But they got him now, though.
This little Ford now, when you brought it up here that last time,
mm-hmm.
I looked out there and it was all that pretty red.
That's what they call priming coat.
Yeah.
Do you want it red or do you want it gray?
Not like it's just like it is.
Red? Well, I got... I told Donald, I says, I want to carry it and have it steam clean. Have the motor steam clean, paint the motor gray, and the rest of it red.
Yeah.
And the wheels, and I believe that I got two tires, and it'll have different kind of wheels on the front. Instead of having them...
them little spindly things.
Yeah, it'll have 850, 15. Wheels on the front. Well, that'll guide better, and it'll stay in the road like it ought to. Back to his, well, and then I got some weights that goes in the wheel.
Yeah.
It's some peculiar looking thing. They're about that thick.
Oh, that thick? Four or 5 inches thick?
They're about that thick, and they go all the way around the wheel, and they're attached to the wheel.
Oh, they really weights.
Yeah, weights. In other words, that's what holds the front end down. That keeps them rearing up. But it will rear up for you.
Yeah.
You notice how your tires stand up behind?
Yeah.
You didn't have enough water in them.
Oh, is that
it? It wasn't. I doubt if it had over 5 gallons of water in each one of them tires.
Yeah.
And I put it halfway.
Yeah.
But see, I got one of them things you put on that, when you're putting the water in there, if you put the water in there, the air comes out.
Yeah.
Then I add them up.
Well, I wondered how you could put water in them, J.R.
I got one of them too. It cost me about $9. And I had a fellow to bar it. And never did bring it back. And I happened to be out there the other day, and I said to him, Mr. Atkins, I said, how about that tool that I lent you in that little yellow box about that long, about so wide? What'd you ever do with it? He said, well, it's supposed to be around here somewhere. I said, you know, that thing cost me about $9. And I said, I didn't give it to you. I lent it to you. And got looking around there in the junk, and there it was. I said, wouldn't he that a nice place for it, though? A tool like that.
Well,
he's got a It's got a three-way connection on it, and you take your valve core out.
Oh.
And you screw this thing on there, and it's got a little thing on the side that you mash it there once in a while, and the air will come out. And whenever that water gets up to the level that you want it, it's got a gauge on it. And you turn that gauge to, say, 40 pounds. That would be half of the tire. 80 pounds is all of it. But 40 is half. And when it gets up to that 40, that thing will go... go doing like that.
Yeah.
Well, it won't put in no more water, and it won't let out no air. See? And I got it, get it back home, put it up there in the top of the garage.
I thought he was right careful, kept things straight.
Yeah, he is away, but he's got so much on his brain, so he don't know what he's doing half the time.
Yeah, what, he got them two places?
Well, yeah, but he got two places. They don't belong to him. He's working for the other man.
Oh, yeah.
He works for a fellow by the name of Thomas. And his wife does, too. She said the other day that as soon as she sold what gas she had, she's going to close up. Because they're going to make a shopping place out of that place down there.
Uh-huh.
They're going to put gas in there, all right, but they're going to build it bigger. And put a kind of a store like. Because, see, you take all that land that Dr. Daly's got there, it's fixing to be a low rental housing affair.
Really? Right there on the highway?
65 apartments in there.
On the highway, JR?
Yeah, on both sides of it. And then another thing, see, Micanopy is trying to get a septic tank business. In other words, like a disposal for bathrooms and things. What they call it? Sewage business.
Yeah.
All right? This guy that's going to build all them houses down there is going to have a big sewage thing down there on what's called Buck's Branch. There's a branch that goes down there and goes into Orange Lake. All right? If they put this disposal thing down there, well, they'll get Micanopy's business. They run all the disposal lines down there to that thing. Because Micanopy's on a hill. You get, say, for instance, you get up at that John Mary place, and you can get there and look all over Tuscarora Lake. You can see over him. You can see Payne's Prairie. You can see Levy Lake. It's up on a hill. All right, if it's up on a hill, you know good and well that all this stuff is going to go downhill, and they won't have to worry about it going downhill. They got in other words, a lot of people, they're making up, don't like what's going on.
Oh, don't they?
No, sir. You can't even burn nothing. The other night, well, the other evening, unless it was last week, why, the man come there with a warrant to arrest me.
You?
Yeah. Said I had a fire in my backyard. I said, I haven't got no fire in my backyard and ain't put none back there. Why? He said, well, says I got a warrant here for you. I said, well, I said, have me arrested then. I said, carry me to jail. I said, I can pay my bail easy. And I said, I own this land here. I own that lot over yonder where that trailer is. That's mine. And I said, guess what grounds do you have me arrested? He said, well, your neighbors said that they couldn't burn no trash or couldn't burn no weeds. I said, how about you? He said, you'd burn it. I said, I wasn't no such a thing. I said, do you call that man's yard over there my yard? Old man Cobb lives right behind me. I said, you see that garden down there? I said, I plowed that up. He didn't plow it up. But I said, that was on his land, wasn't on mine. But he still got half of his garden on my land. And I said to him the other day, I said, Mr. Cobb, I said, what are you planting way over here for? Well, this is my land. I said, this is not your land. I said, get over there and look at that post down in that pond. There's a pipe down in that pond. And I said, look up down at the other end of the property and you'll see them azalea bushes. And I said, you see that cement post up there? Yeah. I says, does that look like that your land is way over here? He's got about 20 or 25 feet of my land with a garden in it. And of course, I don't care. It don't make no difference to me. And I knew whenever I dished it up that it was mine.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got a good garden, and I got one. And my cabbage is heading
oh,
up.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're heading. Mm. And I thought they were collards. I even...
they are.
I give a man some collards the other day, and we cropped what plants I had down there. And I cropped them, and I also went over there, and them cabbage looked like collards, so I cropped a bunch of them. And give him time, and he said, oh man, you talking about something good, but that new stuff that you put in there, I don't know what in the world it was, but it sure was good. And I said, yeah, I don't know what it was either. But I said, we eat some of it, and it was good, and it was cabbage. I ain't that wrong.
Yeah, I talk about that paint. I asked you how come you put it on there. You said there wasn't any paint on there.
It was.
What happened to it? Just on wall.
How old is that tractor?
53.
53, and 10 is 63, and 10 is 73.
Yeah.
That's 20 years, ain't it?
Yeah.
20 years old?
Yeah, I imagine a lot of that time it set out.
I imagine it set right out in the weather. I know where one is just exactly like it. That it's sitting there, but you can't touch it.
Yeah.
Nobody knows who it belongs to.
Well, I want you to tell Mamu what all you did to that tractor, starting with that paint.
What I done to it?
Yeah.
I sand it down. I sand it down, and then I put a lead coating on it, and then I put this here primer on it.
You just take a little piece of sandpaper?
I took a big piece of sandpaper. And that hole on the side where that hole was, I dug all that rust and stuff out, and it had something in there that looked something like cork or something. I don't know what it was.
Yeah.
But the dirt daubers had been in there and eat it up and made nests in there, but I dug it all out, and I put this stuff in there. It should be hard. It ain't. Well, I got some more of it.
Yeah.
That's what I was going to do. I was going to dig out what didn't harden and put some more in there, but mix this stuff up with a little bit of heavier, some kind of stuff that they call it hardener. You can put too much in it, it don't harden.
Now, the first thing you found when it had been sitting down there and wouldn't start for me, you found the trouble was with the distributor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Ain't never had no grease or no oil. And the points, well, they had, that guy said they were new points, but they wasn't. And that rotary, well, had a dirt dauber nest between the rotary and the cap. In other words, he didn't even look at it. I doubt, well, in other words, that rotary, that cap, you can't take it out of there whenever you get good and ready. Because you got to push it over to one side to get to the point.
Is that a 30 minute?
It comes on, babe. I see. It's still going. I can't see the darn thing. I wish they'd make it so you could see it. You never know. It's about gone. And, but that, the darnest thing was, yeah, I let it sit out there and let the dirt daubers build in it.
Mm-hmm.
In that, and wouldn't start.
Uh-uh.
How did it get in there? How'd they get in there, Jim?
Through that hole behind the distributor.
Yeah, that's what you said.
But the hole ain't there now. Because I put some of that stuff in there, just like I put in the hood.
Now, where was it the thing had... Oh, quit that damn.
How the hole got in the silver cab, I don't know.
Now that radiator guard and all was all messed up.
Bent. Might have run into something with it.
Yeah.
I don't see how you fix that. Might have been a post
or something sticking out, and he missed it with the bumper and caught it with the grill. And that's how I come to ram it back there on that radiator.
Mm-hmm.
And I put a bracket in behind the hood up in that hole to keep the grill from going any further.
Mm-hmm.
It's got two little things about like that that's supposed to stick in that grill.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that grill is, the top part of the hood is bent back, see? And as poor as it is, as rusty as it is, see, you can't afford to knock on it too much.
Mm-hmm.
And what I've done is put that bracket in there to keep that grill from going on up in there and getting that radiator.
Getting that radiator. Mm-hmm. Well, it already got onto the radiator.
It done got in there one time because, in other words, when I had it about the first time, well, I noticed water coming out of the radiator.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I done was took the grill and everything off and sawed the hole up.
Could you done it yourself?
Mm-hmm. I got a sawing outfit.
Yeah.
Electric. I can sort of just about anything I take a note of. Like I got a radio that plays for battery. And I haven't never tried it, but I'm going to. I'm gonna kind of iron it out and look at it and just see where them two wires belong. And I'm going to sort of them two wires to that radio and then won't need no battery.
I never heard of that.
Well, it belongs that way. See, it did. In other words, me and Nola was going to, we was going somewhere down south. It was on her vacation. We were going to Sanibel Island, and she had the radio up on the dash of the truck. That's when I had that Chevrolet,
mm-hmm.
that red and white Chevrolet. And it was up there on the dash, and we went around a corner, and the radio somehow or another come out and went right on out the window. Well, the window was down, and the radio hit out there in the pavement and broke that piece off it. Well, the only way we could play it was by battery. You'd have to buy batteries every time you turn around.
Yeah.
And you can bought full batteries the other day, and the thing right now is not like it ought to be. It ain't loud, see? So, in other words, this thing, it broke off. It's sticking out about that far on the back of the radio. Well, then, you know good and well that center piece that you push in there is one wire, and the other piece is another wire, see?
Uh-huh.
Well, you got to figure out just which one of them wires that these two wires belong to.
Oh.
Well, you find out which one of them wires it belongs to and just sort of this wire on here and this wire on here. Let your wire come out through that hole. And you don't have to use the batteries. Just leave them in there. Because, see, this thing, it's got a thing on that wire. It's about that long and about that wide and about that high. And when you plug it in the plug up, Yana, it charges them batteries in there.
Yeah.
There's four of them in there. It charges them.
Yeah.
My radio's on something on order that. Except mine, the dial and everything's in the front. What you have to shake it and hit it for?
Right.
You want me to show you what's wrong with it?
It don't have a battery on it.
Well, it ain't got no battery on it.
Let me tell you, what I was going to show you, I haven't been using it, and
that one's got a thing on it that you plug a light cord into, ain't it?
Yeah. And this thing was set up, and those batteries just last indefinitely.
Mm-hmm.
And you go off and leave it 2 or 3 months and come back and turn the tape on, and the way she plays.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't used it, but I've forgotten.
Well, this thing at the square, if you put it in the light socket, will charge your batteries up.
Yeah.
And you can pull that wire out of it. It's got a little sharp thing on the end of it. You pull it out, and you can play it going down the road.
Yeah.
Well, when you get to where the light plug, you can plug it back in and charge the batteries back up. And then where you ain't got no battery, well, I imagine you could hook it up to an automobile with the cigarette lighter.
Yeah.
I ain't never tried it, but what I want to do is find out which wire goes which place and sort it in there. And then don't use the batteries no more.
Yeah, that's, you haven't covered a half of what you did to that tractor the last time.
Oh, I've done a little bit of everything.
I never saw anything in the world like you did.
Even put air in the tires.
Yeah. Put a core in the front, right hand front tire.
Put what?
Core. Valve core.
Oh.
Not a little bit of everything.
Name some of them.
Yeah, put a.
I forgot.
Valve core in it, and clean out the radiator, and clean out the motor, and clean out the oil filter, and.
Oh, that's
clean
right.
The carburetor out, boiled it out,
oh,
took the carburetor off.
Yes, it was half full.
Half full of some kind of old stuff, I don't know what it was. And fix the tailpipe on it, the exhaust pipe, by boring a hole through the manifold and put a bolt clean through it. That's the only way to keep it on now, because them little half moon brackets, there ain't no such a thing as them things no more. I know where a half one is, but that half ain't worth 2 cents to a whole one. In other words, but it won't fit that because it was off of a Model A Ford.
Hmm.
And that and there's a whole lot smaller.
They may happen, but...
That's the reason I took that piece of galvanized pipe, and the piece of galvanized pipe, a short piece about that long,
it wouldn't
go up in that hole, but what I done, I took it to the emery wheel and cut it down to where it would go up in there. And then I drilled a hole all the way through it and put a stainless steel bolt in it, which it'll never burn it out. But you just put an ordinary bolt in there, it'll burn it up.
Yeah.
But that stainless steel will take more heat than anything. And done the same thing on the bottom piece. And put this piece of 1¼ inch of galvanized pipe, it went right in that tailpipe, see?
Yeah.
In other words, I think that piece of tailpipe cost me about $3.60. I wondered plenty of times when I got my bill from White Electric, what in the world was that $3.60 for?
Yes.
And it just had on that pipe.
Yes.
And I couldn't figure out what in the devil that was.
Yeah.
And my wife said, well, didn't you put a tailpipe on that tractor? I said, yeah.
Yeah.
And a bracket back behind, yeah. And I also found a muffler. That'll fit right on that pipe back there, and also the muffler ain't no longer than that.
Yeah, about a foot.
And that'll help that motor out 10 times better.
The muffler will help the motor?
Yes, sir. Sure will. See, that's the reason a lot of people don't know it, that's the reason the automobile has got a muffler on it. That's to hold back the pressure on them pistons. You take a motor, you can take a motor and crank a lawnmower motor up with no muffler on it. You can hear it knocking up, ramming. You don't know what that is you hear in there. But you put a muffler on it, you don't hear that.
Yeah.
It's what's called a back pressure. It's on the pistons and on the rod and on the crankshaft. It don't hurt the running for the vehicle,
yeah.
But it keeps it from knocking.
I tell you what I saw the muffler. Just to keep the noise down.
Keep the noise down. That ain't why it's on there. It's a pressure affair. A lot of people don't know that.
Hmm.
It's just like, now, say for instance, a draft regulator on a heater. A lot of people don't know what that draft regulator's for. That draft regulator is to pull the cold air out of the room and put it in the heater, and the heater puts it out.
Oh.
A lot of people don't know that.
Well, I certainly didn't.
Well, if it couldn't get no cold air, how would it burn? But now you take that pot under there, it's got 11 dozen holes in it. Up, see, the bottom of the pot is about like that. But from there on up to him, it's full of holes. But you can't see them because it's in a shell. In other words, the pot goes up in this hole. And it's got a place about that wide all the way around the pot. All right, say for instance, rats. If you have rats and they get in that pot down the bottom, around the sides, to get warm, which they can't get warm, they can freeze to death. Or dust gets up in it and stops that thing up. Well, you couldn't light it. You couldn't light it if you had to. It's just like a pot with no holes at all in it. You ever try to... Heat it up a little bit. You can build a fire in a 5 gallon bucket. It's right out in the open. But that ain't out in the open. It's up in that cage.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Them holes in there, in that pot, sucks in that air. Sucks in air, that's what makes it burn. And say, for instance, that you don't burn that kerosene. That kerosene runs in the bottom of that pot. And when that pot gets hot, it makes a gas. You burn the gas. You ever try lighting one when you just turned it out? When you just turn it out, just say turn it out and then light it right back.
No, I never
You take that thing, ain't going to light right back. Because that thermostat back there ain't going to let it.
Oh. It's not going to let it come in?
It ain't going to let it come in there. It won't let nothing come in there. All right? If you try to light it right back, if it didn't have that self-lighter, it didn't have that thermostat, and you turn it out and you light it right back, whenever you throw that paper, it goes just like that. You think the thing going to blow up.
Uh-huh.
Well, it ain't going to let it light. Not that thermostat won't. It's got two thermostats on it. And three, counting that fan over there.
Yeah.
You can open that door on that fan. I can take a match and make it run.
Oh, really?
You just light it and put it right up there by that thermostat. First thing you know, it'll go click. On it'll come.
Yeah, you can hear the click.
Yeah. But now that thermostat back there, you can't get to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I got three or four of them things that go down in the pot. And I found, the other day, I found one of them cups that goes over that thing down there in case you burn it out, but you ain't never burn it out. Well, I've had the heater. Well, we've been living in that house in Mixinopen now, I think Noah said the other day, 18 years. And that heater right there, I bought it when we first went moving that house.
Yeah.
And it's been right in that one place.
Yeah.
And, I had a hole cut in the wall. I cut a 6-inch hole and put a piece of pipe through it, see? In other words, I didn't need no thimble because it was concrete block already. And went outside and went up. And went up there, I guess, about, it didn't go to the top of the house, the pitch. It was just about even with the top of the house. It was three joints of galvanized pipe, and them pieces of galvanized pipe was 8 feet long. That's to say 8 and 8 is 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, about 20 feet. Well, it had a good draft, and it had a downdraft cap on it. And the downdraft cap that come with that heater is on my hot water heater, and the hot water heater has been sitting right down that one corner for 18 years. I ain't never done nothing to it.
Oh, really?
Ain't even had the pot out.
Well,
and you're supposed to take the pot out about every 2-3 years. And I had it out, had the pot out just before I had, well, it was after I had my operation the first time. See, my left leg was the first one I had operated on. And I had it out then. Like, never got the thing back in there. Because I couldn't kneel down. Only way I could do is lay down.
Yeah.
And I managed to get around there all kind of ways and get the thing back up in there. Always stick my hand up underneath it and get it in the place where it belongs and then take my fist and ball it up and then put this other piece under it. There's a lot of catch to doing things.
Yeah.
And I got it back in there and it ain't been out since. But now, cleaning the smut out of it, ain't got no smut in it.
When you're working by yourself, you got to figure out ways like that.
I had all kind of patents on how to do things. I could tote 7-8 joints of pipe all together out of the house and never drop the first piece of soot nowhere.
Really?
In other words, I knew how to do it. Knew how to tote it. But after whenever my knees got to cutting the fool, I had to quit. That's how I come in to quit messing with heater.
Well,
I messed with one the other night. First one I'd messed with, and I don't know when.
Yes.
But the guy called up and said that his mother was freezing. Yeah. You know, about 3-4 weeks ago when we had that little cold snap. And of course, he had the carburetor off it. And I asked him, I said, did you turn any of them screws in there? No. I said, you must have been lying. Because here's one right here that you screwed it all the way down. And I said, it wasn't supposed to be down that far. So I just backed it out. to where I figured that it belonged, the way it looked like it might belong. And of course I couldn't tell because I couldn't see good. I had my drop cord, but that didn't do no good. The way the thing was at, well, it was in a nice place. And what we could do, the kerosene, he said the kerosene wasn't coming to the carburetor. Well, I found out different from that whenever I took all the thermostat and everything off the top of the carburetor. There the kerosene was. There was plenty of it in there. But he had fooled with that screw, and it couldn't none come in on high power because, of course, the kerosene was in the carburetor, but it wouldn't go in the pot. And I raised up the carburetor about that much, and that didn't do no good either. And I asked him, I said, did you clean out the pot good? Yeah. I said, well, how did you do it? I said, did you have all this lighting business out of there? Nope. I said, well, I don't see how you could clean it out. And I could take this ramrod and try to get it to go in the pot. It'd go in there just so far, and that's far as it'd go. Well, I had never worked on that type heater before. First time I ever seen one like that. He said it was a Kenmore. I said, no, this ain't no Kenmore. I said, I don't know what it is. It ain't got no name on it nowhere. And it didn't. It didn't have no name on it nowhere. But I don't know where in the world he got Kenmore from. Well, of course, Kenmore, the pipe where you rot it out at goes in and then it goes up. You got to have a piece of a pipe where, in other words, you can take a lawnmower throttle. You can take it and ram it in there and it'll go up and knock the carbon out of the way. You couldn't get nothing in that hole, but just so far. So I took all the lighter and all that stuff out of it and looked down there in the pot as best as I could. And this thing in the middle was about that big around, and I figured that that kerosene went around that thing. And right over there where the lighter was, where the lighter goes in there and sets down on the bottom of the pot, right where the kerosene comes in that was a ridge. Well, it was up there like that, about that long, around that side. So I got my screwdriver down there, I kept fooling with it, and that's while I broke that out of there. And when I broke it out, here come the kerosene.
Well, how'd
he
get
there? Not on in there, huh?
How'd that ridge get there?
Well, not rodding it out. And they didn't have the right tool to rod it out with.
It just built up.
Yeah, that carbon built up there and just kept building that hole. And first thing I know, it stopped it up. I mean, it was so stopped until only fire was down there when it would light up. It'd be a little old fire about that high. That's all they could get out of it. If he'd told me that, if he'd told me to start with that he didn't mess with that carburetor, or he didn't mess with the thermostat, he didn't mess with the lighter,
yeah.
Well, I could have found out right quick what was wrong with it.
Yeah.
But he had been fooling with it. And whenever I did get the thing cleaned, that hole cleaned out and everything, where the kerosene come in there, lit it up, that thing lit up just as pretty as you ever seen. And I mean, it had heat in it, too, I ain't joking. It had the fan that blowed the fire.
Oh.
There was a fan back behind it that blowed the fire, see?
That made it go faster.
That made it go faster and made it heat up quicker. And I was talking to her the other day, and she told me, she says, that heater ain't never worked like that before since it's been a brand new one. When it was brand new, it didn't work right.
God.
Well, you take, when Miss Patterson lived, she lived on top of the hill over here.
Yeah.
She had a brand new, what kind of heater was that? It wasn't no Nord. It was one of these heaters that's so heavy. Chasing Kitchen sells them.
Oh. Yeah. I remember that heater, and she always kept the house so hot.
Mm-hmm. Well, she got to where the thing didn't heat. And I went out there and the baffle ring was all burnt up and down in the bottom of the heater. And I told her, I said, well, Mrs. Patterson, I said, you're going to have some baffle ring. And I said, where you get them, I don't know. I said, because Chasing Kitchen ain't got them. But I said, I'll tell you what I can do, I can make them. She said, you believe you can? I said, I don't believe anybody, I know I can. So I took two locking bar hot water heater baffle rings that goes in the pot, of a hot water heater and took them and put them together. And they had little old pegs about that long that sets down the bottom of the pot. And then there was this other ring that it was three more little pegs that hold the top of it in there.
Yeah.
And of course the top baffle ring was all right.
Yeah.
And so I made baffle rings go in it. Went out there and I cleaned the heater. And the pipe, when it stood it going right from the heater right straight into the wall, the pipe come out of the heater and went down and went in at the bottom down there. I told Miss Patterson, I said, that's not right. I said, I ain't never seen a flue like that before in my life. I said, now what they should have done was come out of the heater and go right straight into the flue. So I said, no heater is going to work right with the pipe coming out of the heater and going, dropping that much and then going to the flue at the bottom. I said, you ain't got that kind of draft. She said, well, you know how to fix it? I said, yeah. I said, now it's going to might be a little bit of dust. Only kind of dust will be here will be cement. And I said, I got the thing to cut the hole in the flue with. And I said, there ain't one thing we can do, and that's just close up where this heater's at. Close all the doors, and we'll put a rug in front of the doors where it can't go under the door anywhere else. And I said, I got the tool to cut the hole with. And the only thing I had to do is cut a 6-inch hole. No use cutting no 8-inch hole because the pipe was only 6 inches round, so just cut a 6-inch hole into the flue. And I didn't have to go in no further than that, and I'd been in the flue. So I bought my big electric drill and that thing and put in the electric drill, and it took me about 6 hours all together by cleaning the heater and rerunning the pipe. And also the hole, the kerosene line that comes from the tank, that house was, had a subflow in it. Well, they had moved that heater so much until they bent that pipe like that, and the kerosene wouldn't come in like it was supposed to.
Uh-oh.
So I had put new tubing under the house.
Yeah.
And she said, well, how you gonna get that tubing to the floor? And I said, well, I said, I don't know, I have to figure that out. So what I done, I took a new piece of tubing, got on the outside of the house, and I attached it to this piece of tubing that was already in there. And I went inside, and the hole in the floor was about that big around. Well, there had a lot of cool air could come up through that. So I put the two pieces of tubing together on the outside, and I pulled this piece on the inside, kept rolling it up, and I pulled it. Well, that new piece of tubing was limber, see? It hadn't been there, it hadn't been in nothing. All right, I pulled that piece of tubing on up in there and put it on that carburetor like it belonged. Well, it didn't have that bent place in it. And she said, I don't see how in the world you got that tubing under that house without going under there. Said, you can't go under there nohow. Said, there ain't even no hole under the house where you can get under there. I said, well, that's all right, I'll get through there.
I've been under that house. No, that was a big house.
Huh?
That was a big house.
No, the little house.
That one down in front.
The one, the little house was the one.
Where they lived last.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, you couldn't get under there.
No, you couldn't get under there. So I got the tubing and everything in there, and got the heater clean, got the flue, and she happened to come in there about, I don't know, I'd been drilling in there, I guess, about 30 minutes cutting that hole. And she come in there and she said, my goodness, lifetime, you mean you got the pipe in it, got the flew in there, the pipe in already? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, I don't know how in the world you done it. I said, well, I got something here to cut it. Cut that cement. Well, somebody walked off with that thing. I don't know what become of it.
Yeah.
Of course, now you take when somebody, you got 2-3 people got the key to your garage.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Someone, stuff walks off.
Yeah.
It'll walk off. And,
Well, now, Miss Patterson, in my experience, she was right satisfactory to work for.
Yeah.
You could get through to her,
mm-hmm.
And then she appreciated what you done.
Well, in other words, when I got through the job, it took me about, I say a day and a half. It was about a day and a half altogether by putting the, fixing the flue, and putting a pipe in it, and I put galvanized in it, and I mean, it's still in that heater. I ain't heard nothing from it, because that one of those Patterson girls live up there, and I ain't heard nothing else about it since then. And I think it was altogether was about $120. Who you think paid that bill? Miss Patterson didn't pay it. Mr. Patterson didn't pay it. Chase and Kitchen paid it. Because they was the one that put the heater in there, and she ain't had nothing but trouble with it ever since she had it. And they paid the bill. And I've done that work ever since until I quit. And I was in Chase and Kitchen here not long ago. And the man said to me, says, don't I know you? I said, yeah, I guess you do. I worked on y'all's heaters. I repaired every one y'all sold. And I said, they still working, ain't they? He said, yep, every one I'm working. He says, we want you to start cleaning them again. I said, I can't help you on that. He says, here's six tapes, Western tapes, so you can have them. You know, tapes you put in a, push it in a machine that plays in cowboy songs and whatnot. Had six of them up there, so you can have all six of them. If you want any more, come back and get them. It says, we sure would like for you if you could find somebody that you could depend on to clean our heaters. I said, I don't know who that is. I said, they don't clean them like I clean them. I either clean them or don't clean them, one of the two. But there's some of them I show the spies to work on.
I imagine so.
Oh, really?
Oh, boy, there were some of them, they were a pain in the neck. I ain't joking. And these here wall furnaces, what's a pain in the neck?
Tell me something else about Ms. Patterson.
Well, I don't know much about her myself.
Did you ever do anything else for her?
Nope. Yes, I did. I worked on the lawnmower one day. They had I don't know what kind of lawnmower it was. It was a big thing. And Mr. Patterson, he always done the work on it, but he didn't know what was the matter with it. It would go forward, but it wouldn't back up.
Well, that wouldn't be much help.
But I found out what was wrong with it. I ordered the part. What you got? Wouldn't back up. I found out what was wrong with it. Ordered the part and got it and put it in it. And I ain't heard no more from it. Of course, they may not even use it no more. It might be under the back of the house. It was a big old Toro.
Oh,
it had tires on it, about that big around, about that wide. And I imagine it's still behind that house, in that shed. I doubt if they even use it. They may use it. I don't know. I ain't never heard nothing about it. Well, I guess I better go. I just have wondering where in the world I'm at.
Let me ask you, J.I. You notice when you go through there, you kind of look at what I've done to that front lane. I had the that big rig over here.
Mm-hmm.
Roy Davis operates it for, what's his name over here? You know the fellow got that big rig. Williams.
Mm-hmm. Robert Williams?
Yeah, his boy. And that's Frank McGray's old rig. You know the rig. Well, let me tell you, it's been 4 or 5 years since he got it from McGray. And about, wow, dang, just holding together. And I said to him, Roy, front wheels is lopsided. What's wrong with them? Why, he says, it's just the bushes is wore. Why, they just spraddle there. And that big tractor. You'd think that thing would have to sit up straight or else there'd be so much wear on it, it wouldn't last.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he went over that 3 times. He cut it down.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now, if I had had something to open up. Well, now, one thing, those cedar trees was growing so far out, I didn't realize that. They was growing way out in that lane.
Mm-hmm.
And you had to get over on the upper side.
Yeah.
Well, you see, I cut them out. They wasn't in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can bear to the right as you go out. You see, you get back on the top of the upper lane there. But I still needed, on the sides there, I still needed to sew it up there.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll have drainage. And this little old thing I have on there, it won't do any good. It is as poor a piece of
well,
machine.
Well, in other words, that thing out there won't hold the dirt after you get it to start off with it.
No.
It runs out the sides.
Yes.
But I know where a bucket is.
Well, a bucket, you see, if you had a bucket and somebody to help you,
you don't need no help. Not with no bucket.
You mean the kind that operates on the...
On the back of the tractor. I don't know where a bucket is. That man told me to go get it and keep it as long as I wanted it.
Yeah.
Well, he ain't got no use for it. He don't use it no more.
Well, you go get it and keep it as long as you want to.
In other words, me and Bobby was going to load it in my truck and bring it home, see?
Uh-huh.
The other time when I had the tractor.
Yeah.
And, shoot, I went out there and looked at that rotten thing, and I said, me and you won't never get that in the truck. In other words, it's got a blade in the back end of it about that. I guess the blade must be that high, or maybe higher. And you can set that blade any kind of way you want to.
Yeah.
And if you're dragging, say, for instance, if you're cutting the side of the road and trying to put it at the top, you set the blade around.
Yeah.
See? And it sets the blade around, and
yeah,
it drags it and cuts it all at the same time.
Yes.
And it holds a certain amount of dirt in there.
Yeah.
And you can let a certain amount of dirt out.
Mm-hmm.
And
But what you
want to do is cut it on the outer edge and put it in the middle of the road.
Yes.
You don't want that dirt going, and you cut it and leave it in the same place.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can cut a ditch. You can put your road, you can be riding up him, and your ditch on each side
yeah.
will be draining.
You know, I've been so crazy in my time. You see, I bought this thing and I just let it go. You can get one of these things that'll work. It's got a twist up the top. You see, this don't have an angle to it. And if I had got that, and all I'd have to done was just sew the dirt up in the middle, and you know when that grass got to growing on the sides and wouldn't let it drain, just cut that grass out, and you could do it with two or three rounds on the thing, and think about something else.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't do it with that unless you got a little bit of machinery.
That's right. You got to have something to do something.
Now, you could do it with that old-fashioned mule bucket,
mm-hmm.
but then it takes two for two men to do it, and it ain't quite as handy.
This thing here is about, I don't know, it must be about 6 feet wide.
Yeah.
It's about six. It's wider than that.
Yeah.
And heavy? Man, that thing is heavy.
Yeah.
I tried to pick up one side of it, and I couldn't even budge it.
Well, how are you going to load it?
I'm going to put it on the back of the tractor.
Oh, yeah.
Just take the tractor and drive out there and get it. It ain't about 6 miles.
Well, you rather have this one or the other tractor?
No, I'd rather have that one out there.
Okay. Yeah, let me tell you. Now, that'll fix me up, Jay. I don't know. You notice on this side of that little gap there, there's still a puddle hole.
Yeah.
And I got no way to drain it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have to put some old rock of some sort in there.
No, you know where any old tile is?
Old tile.
Old tile about that big thing?
Yeah.
Old piece of pipe or something?
Yeah.
I know where a piece is.
And put it through the road?
Yeah, put it under it.
Put it under it.
Put it under the road and have it right in the center. Right in the center of your alley, and if any water gets on this side, it runs through it and run over here on this side and go on where it goes.
Well, let me tell you, Jay,
but you'd want rock on both sides of it to keep them washing. Because after that dirt gets down there on each side of it, it won't never wash.
Oh.
I worked for the state long enough. I know how to put them things down.
I don't know how.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I can do the work. You see, my knee's not in pretty good shape. Well, I wouldn't brag on it, but it's fair. I can do the work, but I don't know how to do it.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, I believe you need just about what I got just then. You got water under your kneecap.
I got something.
That's exactly what it is.
It keeps aggravating me.
Mine was... Now, this knee here, since they drawed that stuff, what they claimed they drawed yesterday,
test.
2 tablespoons.
Damn, come on.
Was all they got out of there. I didn't see no 2 tablespoons or nothing.
Yeah.
But my knee feels better this morning.
Yeah.
It didn't when I first got up, but it does now.
Yeah. Pest control go over to your house?
What pest control was that?
That's that one.
Orchid?
No, the other one.
Florida pest control? No, they don't mess with me.
Which one do you have?
I don't have none of them.
You don't?
No, sir.
How you making that?
I spray my own self. I got the can and everything.
You got one?
I got one in the sprayer.
Well, how do you know what to spray?
I know how to mix it up.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can't get along without it.
Oh, I see.
But I ain't got nothing bothering me. What you got bothering you?
A little of everything.
Roaches? Well, you can get some of them pills.
Yeah.
Look like an aspirin.
Yeah.
And just put them around. I don't forgot now what the name of them are. They're yellow.
Yeah.
And I guarantee if there's a roach anywhere around, he comes out and gets him a bite of that. He won't bite nothing else.
Well, I guess I don't put them in the right places because I've tried and we still have them around. I guess some of them fly in, don't they?
Yeah, sure do.
I guess it's all right as long as the dead roach.
Yeah, as long as the dead roach. But they fly in time to say, if you have a light on in the house.
Yeah.
And the very minute you open that door, he knows when you open that door.
Yeah.
Right in he comes.
Yeah.
But now, you take this kind of DTT, if you're buying those 5-pound packages, you could take that stuff and go right around side the house right out there. And just sprinkle it right down side the house and in that grass right next to the house. I guarantee you, he crosses over it. He won't ever cross nowhere else.
Is that right?
Hmm.
And roaches do like grass.
Oh.
Yeah.
And these old cockroaches especially.
Yeah. They hide in it.
Yes, sir. Hide in it.
Now, let me tell you, Dale, I got an old divan in there, and it's no count, but it's got a marvelous bed in it.
Divan, what's that?
Divan.
Couch.
Mm-hmm. And the thing of it is, I don't need it in here, I need it out in that little trailer. And it's so much bigger than the trailer door, I can't get it in there.
Mm.
And it's the metal thing is framed on that back there. I thought if I could just cut off a part of that back, but you can't do it.
Mm.
It won't cut.
Must be spring steel.
I guess.
Oh, it's one of those big, heavy couches.
Mm. It's a booger.
I want to thank you for this. You know, my mother can't read. She's she's had some sort of.
Well, that's the end of this goodly visit with J.R. He came for the little red tractor. It's red now. This Tuesday, the 21st of January 75. This Tuesday, the 21st of January 75. Channel 1 over. This Tuesday, the 21st of January, 75. The end of the visit with J.R. with Faye.